I have a cousin, a grandson of Joseph, that works on the Gronick family tree in his spare time. He's an information technology pro, so he's really qualified to do all of the online research that's necessary, and his search always bears a lot of fruit in finding family. That persistence led him to find me on an Ancestry.com chat room a few years ago. He'd posted a query in cyberspace about an Elias Gronick family connection. Now, my grandmother's maiden name was Elias, and her husband's name was Gronick, so with no sense that understanding my family had been incomplete, I found myself clicking yes and then hitting send. And on that day, just like that, I found family I never knew I had, right here in the States. Since I'd never met any of her brothers or their children or their children's children, I'd thought Babka, my Polish grandmother, was the only one of her generation to leave the old country. I thought they all still lived in Poland. Maybe I never knew about them because by the time I started asking questions about the old country, both Dad and Babka had died. Maybe there were broken relationships in her generation, and my grandmother had become estranged from her family. The roots of our family tree were still there, but we'd lost them in the mists of Babka's and her estrangements way back when. My cousin, on the other hand, hadn't. He was close to his grandfather Joseph, my grandmother's brother, and so he'd heard the family stories that had been handed down. He'd known who we were descended from, knew the stories of family and sibling rivalries and inheritances and broken relationships. His knowledge had informed his everyday actions and behaviors, made him who he was, a second-generation Pole, nourished by the knowledge of whom and where he'd come from. And in turn, my meeting and getting to know my cousin has informed and reflected who I am today, also a second-generation Pole, and now I am nourished by an even greater knowledge of the people that I come from. Through that chance chat room meeting with my cousin, or maybe not so much chance as it was the working of the Holy Spirit, my family, Babka's family, are reconnecting. We're finding new family we'd never even known we had. Jesus also knew where he came from, knew the stories of his father. He knew who he was descended from, knew the all too human stories of family and sibling rivalry and inheritances and broken relationships, all right there in the Old Testament. And he quoted and taught from those stories all the time. Have you ever heard the phrase, "Man shall not live by bread alone"? Jesus said just that, but he was quoting from Deuteronomy 8. When Jesus was handed the holy book in the temple, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." This is from the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but Jesus is reading from the prophet Isaiah. Or maybe you've heard these words spoken at a wedding, "What God has joined together, let no one put asunder." That's Jesus in Matthew and Mark's gospel, but he's paraphrasing Genesis. Or perhaps you remember when his folks couldn't find him after the festival, so they went back to Jerusalem all mad because he didn't do as he was told, and there was Jesus, 12 years old, matching wits with the temple teachers. Jesus knew where he came from. He knew the topography of the old country like the back of his hand, knew the stories of his people and quoted from them all the time, from 24 different books from the Old Testament. Jesus had a deeper sense of who he was, his beingness, the purpose for his life, and ultimately his death, for he knew who he came from. And on the day of his baptism, a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." There was a young man that I used to work with at a company in Denver. He was in the sales force, and he was a real hotshot salesman, charismatic, personable, and an atheist. One year, he decided to reconcile with his estranged father by taking a trip together to, of all places, the Holy Land. My friend wasn't a believer, not a Christian. He'd been estranged from his father and had felt a pull to reconcile, but it had never happened. But now his father was going and had an extra tour ticket, read free. So my friend decided to take his father up on his offer and join him. He saw all the places where Jesus taught the lame to walk, fed the hungry, gave sight to the blind, even the River Jordan where Jesus was baptized. My young friend had never been baptized, had never felt he needed to be, really. But there he was in the Holy Land, walking beside his father, rediscovering a relationship with him that had been all but lost. As the bus came to a stop on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, they saw a priest baptizing someone in the water. Afterward, the priest offered to baptize anyone on that tour bus. And do you know what my young atheist friend did? With no real awareness that he'd been incomplete, he found himself wading down to that water. And on that day, just like that, with his father standing there next to him, my friend became a follower of Jesus Christ. And when he returned to the office, he was lit up like a Christmas tree. Maybe it was the newfound relationship with his father. Maybe it was his becoming a branch of Christ, but he couldn't stop talking about what it felt like to go under that water and come up a changed man. Now, don't get me wrong, he was still a hotshot salesman, still a crackerjack, but now he spoke of forgiveness, of the healing found in rekindling a relationship with his father, of his joy-filled life with family and friends and his faith. He'd learned God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. And he forgave his father. He needed to talk about his otherworldly experience in the Sea of Galilee with other Christians and really anybody who would listen, all the while asking me, "Is this normal?" Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. I am the vine, and you are the branches." Living and growing in the rich soil of his knowledge of God, Jesus grew to become a vine that would in turn connect you and me and my young friend in Denver to God and Christ. And when we remember that we are branches of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us because he has anointed us to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent us to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And when we do that, we live into the five marks of our mission: to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, to teach, baptize, and nurture new believers, to respond to human need by loving service, to seek to transform unjust structures of society, to strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew the life of the church. So I kind of imagine, whenever we come together like this, that we're in this big old reaching across the millennia through cyberspace kind of chat room. And someone is asking if we're related to a man from Nazareth, whose mother was named Mary, stepfather Joseph, a man named Jesus. And then when we see this post, we think, hey, I think I'm related to him. I know a carpenter called the Son of God and the Son of Man named Jesus. Because through him, my brothers and sisters, we are all members of the family of God. And may all God's people say, Amen.